Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Lizzo ignites an online riot. Who is the true queen of pop? Plus, Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin busted skinny dipping. How would you feel if these were your parents? And we've got some serious star power today. We're hanging with Selena Gomez, Jason Biggs, Pat Malachmi, and Adele Dazeem.
All the people that didn't know me were like, who the hell is that girl?
Welcome to Daily Pop. Madonna fans are pissed this morning. Lizzo set off a hot debate, and we're gonna try to settle this once and for all. Who is the queen of pop? But first, I've got to say good morning to Lonnie Love. Thank you for being here this morning.
Monochromatic in the yellow leopard.
Morgan Stewart, a vision in white, as
usual. Yes, mama.
Thank you.
Right?
And you are always fabulous, dear.
Thank
you
so much. We do need to be better about repaying the compliment.
Thank you.
Yes, you're right.
You know
look
what?
Great.
I got 9 hours of sleep today, so I'm ready.
She
is ready, okay?
Okay.
So this new debate started with one little tweet. Lizzo said Janet Jackson is the queen of pop, which did not go over well with Madonna fans. They say Madonna's held that title for almost 40 years.
Yep. Uh-oh.
So let's do this. Who is the queen of pop?
Madonna.
This is Madonna.
First of all, our producer texted us this morning when I was getting my COVID test. She's like, I know you're busy, but I just need to know who's the queen of pop. I literally went from Madonna to, Britney's obviously the queen of pop. But no, then is she the princess of pop? But literally, this is where my mind went. I was like, Madonna, Britney. And then I was like, but then there's Gaga. You got to include Gaga. But then I was like, Gaga's not fully pop. My mind never.
She's not of that generation.
Ever went to Janet. And I stand you. I'm Rhythm Nation Janet. I'm into Janet. You know this.
Yeah.
And Janet to me.
Look at me adjusted.
No. No.
We know why your mind didn't go.
No.
No.
I love Janet. I think she's more diverse and eclectic than pop.
Okay, well, let me say this.
She does more than just pop.
I think Janet Jackson does not want that title because it comes with too much work. Janet wants to do half a tour. She wants to sit her ass at home.
No.
She wants to be with that baby. She wants to count that $250 million she got from that man from Dubai and live her best life. Janet Jackson does not want that crown.
Do you think Janet even considers herself the queen of pop?
I think Janet Jackson considers herself the queen of herself.
Janet's amazing, no doubt. Legend, but
these
not
two.
The queen of pop. And she doesn't want to be.
It's a racial issue. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to put it out there. When Lizzo did it, Lizzo was basing it on what she grew up on.
Right.
And this is the thing for me. I love Madonna because Madonna is a Michigan girl.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on her. And then I grew up also on Janet Jackson. Sometimes I like steak. Sometimes I like fish. It's the same thing with my music. Sometimes I like Madonna, sometimes I like Janet. It just depends.
But sometimes the steak is dry and you gotta switch it up a little
Ooh.
Bit. And I'm gonna say this, and it's
Ooh.
Gonna piss a lot of people off. You could be the queen of pop, but just because you're the queen of pop doesn't mean you're the reigning queen of pop.
Oh.
So I'm gonna tell you who the reigning queen of pop
who?
Is. It's Beyonce, and I want somebody to fight me on that.
Ooh.
No, I think that's undisputed. And I actually think Beyonce's in her own, it's a different.
But that's a different generation. Y'all forgetting about Cyndi Lauper. Y'all forgetting about Whitney Houston. There were times when they were like, Mariah Carey, you could consider her.
But you can't consider her.
But Mariah, not so much pop. I feel like she's like, her songs were
she was
soulful
hip-hop.
And amazing.
She was hip-hop.
And substance. You know, like, pop, I think of, like, pop. Like I think of, like a Virgin. Like, I think of, like, a very, like, easy-to-like song.
Yes.
How will I know? No, Whitney's reigning champ forever. Whitney's
sure.
in her own
but I
lane.
But I definitely think that if Britney hadn't...
If Britney hadn't
hit the Britney bump, yeah. I think Britney would have made it to the coronation and we would have had a new reigning queen of pop. But Beyonce came in from Destiny's Child, that solo career, that Lemonade, and really
took it over.
You know
what I guess I'm realizing? I feel like pop is like not as... Like, Beyonce makes music that's beyond pop to me, like Janet.
By the way...
I think Britney and Madonna make, like, easy, like, light, like, lemonade-y music. Like, that's not
it's
as,
nice.
Like... It's not as... I'm trying to find the word. It's not as robust. It's not as... I don't want to say not
you're
as...
You're talking about Holiday? Every time I hear Holiday, you
but
go
that's like,
off.
No, I'm saying they're easy to like songs. They're very poppy and up. But like Beyonce does, like, gives you a musical experience.
But for they're
sure.
different generations. I keep telling y'all that. Beyonce is just in a whole league of her own. We're talking about back in the day in the 80s.
Oh,
that's
the 80s
what we're talking about.
Oh, well, then put 80s in front of it. I'm gonna have to go with, again, Madonna.
It's Madonna.
Okay, that's fine.
But Janet did Rhythm Nation. She did all
Janet,
of that.
Janet was, when I heard Control, when I was in college.
Control.
Got Your Own Mind. I can make my own decisions. That's just hands down. And I think that's what Lizzo was dealing with. So mm-hmm. I think that there yeah. is, you know, it's just who you like.
I think
agree
I'm just
with
bitter.
That.
I think I'm just bitter.
It's what you grow up on.
Why are you bitter?
Because Janet has canceled every tour I have gotten tickets to halfway through, and I never get to see her.
Were we going to
the
a Janet concert?
The woman is a mother now.
Yes, we were supposed to go. Janet canceled.
She's a mother now. So you should have went to Essence Fest when I had her down there 2 years ago that I hosted.
One job.
I love that Janet's a mother now. She cancels. I'm a mother, and I come every damn day.
Too. Sarah Paulson is also getting some heat over a fat suit. She wore it to play Linda Tripp in FX's Impeachment American Crime Story. Now, Sarah actually gained 30 lbs for the role, but still wore about 4.5 pounds of padding.
Say what?
Now, people are pissed, saying that it's another example of Hollywood not offering opportunities to plus-size actors. But Sarah told the LA Times, "I regret not thinking about it more fully. You can only learn what you learn when you learn it." I wouldn't make the same choice going forward. Was the thick suit a bad idea?
You know what? This is the thing. I love Sarah. So, what is it?
Paulson.
I love Sarah Apollo. Woman that I met that one time that I don't know who that is. I love her.
This has nothing to do with her. What I'm about to say has nothing to do with her. It has something to do with the industry. Because if you're a plus size actress, and they're looking for, you know, a certain actress, they're not going to put you in that space if you're supposed to be thin. So that's where this is all coming from. It's just like I had, for pilot season, I had a role, and I really liked it, and I thought I could do it, and I read the script. This is why you always read the script. And at the end, the character was gay. I'm not gay. And I feel like in these days and times, there's so many actresses that are gay that could play that part. And I didn't want to take that opportunity away from them. So I feel the same way when it comes to plus size. It's not a lot of roles for us. So don't take the role.
But let's say this. Let me just say this. I understand what you're saying and I get it. But for me, as a gay person on TV, I don't want to just fill a gay void. I don't want you to say,
okay. You might want to go for a straight part.
Yeah, I want to be able to play a straight part as well. And I think gay men should have the Neil Patrick Harris experience where they can play both and be ambidextrous. I feel the same way about this whole padding scenario. Let's say Sarah Paulson didn't gain the 30 pounds and she put on 30 pounds of padding. Maybe that would be a bit of an issue, but if a man wants to dress up as a woman, he's going to put on hip pads. If a woman wants to dress up like a man, she could wear a ding-a-ling. She could wear a little plastic ding-a-ling to give her that extra curve.
Sarah Paulson committed to the role. She gained, I think you're right. Like, she did actually gain the weight, which a lot of people would not have wanted. A lot of people, actresses in her position, would have probably been like, just put it on.
And this is not even about her. What I'm saying is that we are in modern times now. We're in times where there are a variety of different actors and actresses that don't get those opportunities. So when it's a part where maybe, and this has nothing to do with her, this has something to do with the studios, with the unions,
yes,
making sure that, hey, you give opportunities first for what the role is there for.
Not for the actress.
Yes. That's all I'm saying.
I understand that as well. But I do think with these, it's the same producers, the same directors, and they rotate the same actors in and out. It's kind of like they use the same people for red carpet here. You know, 100%. Like once somebody's stuck in a role or stuck in a position, or you know somebody, they're like, well, we'll just put her
that's
on.
That's all we see.
Instead of looking 360.
They don't put me on that red carpet, girl. They learn their lessons with this hot wire. But I will say, going into this show was supposed to be three women. This show was supposed to be three girlfriends. Yes, talking to each other. They still have three women. But I came into this, I literally walked into that whole thing, this whole audition, and was like, let me just trip you up real quick.
See?
So there are times where you will get in a room and it's not meant for you, your body type, your color, your whatever, and you could definitely throw a wrench in the system.
Well, that's why it's important, like I said, for when they're doing the audition process, that when they do say, we'll look at everybody. Instead of saying, oh, we only want to look at this person, or we only want to look at a name.
Yeah.
It's important that they look at everybody, because then you never know who's going to fulfill, and we wouldn't have Justin if that was the case.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
See?
Well, you guys, feast your eyes on the icon, Miss Jennifer Lopez. Mm. She was heading to the Dolce & Gabbana show in Venice, Italy, serving Masterpiece. Come on, y'all.
How you like that?
Come on, y'all.
I have nothing. I mean, queen.
Come on, y'all.
This is the best she... I mean, first of all, she always looks damn good. You can never dispute that. But this this is giving me, like, 2005 J-Lo when she was doing red carpet. She was giving us that, like, 60s, like, mint green. Like, J-Lo was the one to watch on the red carpet, if you remember. Now she's gotten a little bit more fun and commercial. But, like, when she was, like, it was 2000 and early 2000s, there was no one else. This reminds me of that. The look is flawless. That face, that glam... Mm-hmm.
She knows it.
Forget
she knows
it.
The assignment.
It.
And this is another example of a person. J-Lo got her start playing Selena. Can you imagine if they hadn't have given her that and used the name actress at the time?
100%.
That's all I'm saying.
You need to provide opportunities for people to break out.
Exactly. And she consistently, and she's also in love. And when you're in love,
you always look better.
Oh my God.
Trust me. I see photos from 2 years ago. Woo, not good.
Right? Trust, this woman looks like this with or without a man.
It was not good.
Coming up, our big interview with Selena Gomez. Why she told us she is an embarrassment. Plus, if you thought your friend's man was cheating, would you tell them? Hell no.
No.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Y'all, this weekend was nuts. There was cheating, fighting, and naked parents. So let's break down the weekend gone wild.
Ow!
Up first, the vacation from hell continued on last night's Real Housewives of Potomac. Mm. Wendy called Robin's relationship non-existent during her fight with Giselle, and Robin was not having it.
I gotta get into this.
So Wendy, are you gonna ignore me as well, or are you just ignoring Giselle? You took personal digs at me. I was like, wow, because I remember a year ago, you at my engagement party screaming the loudest. And then fast forward to last night, and you're calling my relationship non-existent. And I said, wow, she was never my friend.
And I still feel as though the way in which you have treated me this past week, I feel is fake because my girlfriends, the way we rock, that is not what we will do to each other.
When I said that comment, it hurt her feelings. How do all of us feel when Giselle talks about our families? But you defend her, Robin. That's not right.
And at that moment, Wendy knew she messed up. Now, remember, this whole drama started because Giselle brought up rumors that Eddie was cheating on Wendy. Now, if you heard the rumors that your friend's man was cheating, would you bring it up or would you keep it quiet?
feel like we've talked about this a lot on the show. It's really, really difficult. I feel like if you definitely hear things and you've heard them more than once and you know something's going on, I do, and you're very close with that person, I think you have an obligation to say something, but you can't do it too early because that comes back to you and people get embarrassed and they feel like, well, I'm going to stick with my man, and then you're the one that's on the outs. Mm-hmm. So it's a hard thing to navigate.
It depends on my friends, but in my experience, you know I have a lot, Justin.
Yes.
Them bitches stay with the dude.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Hold on. Say one more time for the people in the back.
They end up staying with them. Mm-hmm. You can say it. Mm-hmm. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it a number of times. And they stay with the dude. And then the dude gets mad at you
and then you're not around.
You. Yeah. And then he tells her, stop, you know, messing with Lonnie because she talked too much. And I'm like, bitch, I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
So it don't pay.
No, 100%. What you need to do is you need to be a good friend and tell your messy friend to not tell nobody and then let it get back to the other friend that the man was cheating. So it didn't really come from you, but it came from you.
So you can get out of it.
So you can get out of it.
Or you can confront the guy.
I do that too, but that don't work because he's still doing what he want to do. I was at a Cat Williams concert. Never forget. Like, I was in the second row. This dude comes up in the first row with a chick. Is not my friend. And so, you know, it was a whole line of girls right here with me. And I was like, yeah. I told the whole row girl, I said, this dude, that's my friend's husband. And it was like, what? And then he didn't know that I was behind him. But then he took his arm and did like this and turned and looked straight in my face. And me and all the girls in the row was like this. Mm-hmm. Boo boo, you got caught, boo boo.
Did she stay with him?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. That's why he looked at you. That's why he looked at you in the eyes. But there's two surprising parts here in this whole story. What? One, how did you not get in a fight that night? And two, why are you paying for Cat Williams tickets?
I didn't pay. I did not pay. No. That's why I was in the second row, because it was a guest seat.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
See, check yourself.
Yeah. But also, you knew Lonnie didn't pay for those tickets.
Honey, I know Lonnie don't pay for
He's a good friend of mine.
Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin were busted skinny dipping by their daughter, Amelia. And she posted it on Instagram for the world to see. She said, I don't know if I'm traumatized or like if it's cute. Would you be mortified if these were your parents?
As long as they weren't having sex.
Yeah, I think it's cute. I mean, it's also kind of like, how are they getting out? I think it's adorable. I mean, they clearly have like a happy, healthy relationship. They've loved each other. They've been together for a long time. It's cute.
They have a good time.
She's at the age where, like, Amelia also in her caption, she understands.
She's walked in on these hippies doing way worse things.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I love when Lisa gets that hat out. That's like vacation Lisa. Like, she's like ready for wilderness.
Mm. No, that's not vacation Lisa. That's I just had a microderm Lisa.
You know?
I just had a skin facial that took off like a vampire facial Lisa. That's what that is.
I love Harry Hamlin. I think he's a nice guy.
Me they too.
Are. They're a good time too. You ever party with them?
Yes, they're a really good time.
He's in the background of every damn scene at every dinner. Going for food, going for tequila. Are you joking?
He likes to be around.
I like to support when there's a buffet. Coming up, Jason Biggs is ready to make you rich. He's joining us live to share how you can find cash at your door. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Anybody home?
Ding dong.
Hello?
Oh. Oh my God.
Let's play. Hi, it's me, Jason Biggs.
I've got 25 grand. That's all yours if you can answer some trivia questions.
Who doesn't want to win cash without leaving the house?
That's so
joining
cute.
Us now is the host of E's Cash at Your Door, the new Ed McMahon, Jason Biggs, everybody.
Yay!
First of all, let me just tell you how much that I love your show, because you don't have to guess what it is. Like, the title says it all. It's a cash at your door. How you gonna mess this up?
Yeah, yeah, you can't mess it up. It is exactly what the title implies. I am the host of this show. I am coming to your house, and I have lots of cash, and I want to give it to you. There's really, yeah. When I got pitched the show, I was like, okay, I get it. I see that. That makes sense to me. Now, as I'm getting older, you know, you need to really simplify things for me. You know, that's what I'm finding.
We love you.
You know, like, keep things very simple, straightforward, right to the point. Cash at your door. I was like, okay, I'm in.
That's the selling point. And you know, Jason, we love you. Your career acting has been great, and you continue to do that. But what's the biggest challenge jumping from, you know, acting to being a game show host?
Yeah, you know, first of all, it's so funny because, you know, I hosted a show earlier this year. It was on Fox. It was called Cherry's Wild. That's not what I'm here to promote, but it is interesting. I hosted that last year, and now I'm hosting, of course, Cash at Your Door on E! Here. But it's funny, people were, you know, talking about, you know, so many people talk about, like, oh, I learned how to make sourdough. I got a sourdough starter during the pandemic, or, you know, I started studying a new language. I became a game show host. That's what I did. That was my pandemic. I like did a straight pivot, and now I'm, I guess, hosting game shows.
Nice.
I making love money. It.
Most people were spending money during the pandemic, giving Jeff Bezos all that cash.
Exactly.
This man was making money. You might want to undersell this job, because Lonnie might come and scoop it from you, honey. She's trying to take everybody's job.
Oh, what?
Okay.
I got to be honest. First of all, I still spent a lot of money during the pandemic. I have two kids. I live in New York City, as you can tell from my accent wall. I have an accent wall. That means I live in New York. Yes. We were discussing that during the commercial break. So, and I have two kids. So plenty of money has been spent. But, you know, game show hosting for me has been so much fun. You know, I do feel like it's kind of a, look, I love meeting new people. I love talking to people. I love improvising. I love giving away someone else's money. Yeah. You know, I feel like it's kind of a natural fit on so many levels for me. And I just had an absolute blast. I mean, and this show in particular, like, the timing of the show, given the way things have been the last year and a half, as you can imagine, I made a lot of families so happy. You know, I mean, we were giving away thousands of dollars, up to $25,000. But you can imagine, these people had no idea. They knew that they were, you know, having a television crew come to their house that day. They thought they were going to be taking part in a show about their homes. They had no idea that I was showing up. They had no idea that I was, it was a game show, that I was going to give away money. And so, you know, I come to these people's houses. Already it's a surprise. They're like, whoa, this is cool. We have a fun couple of hours. And then I give them thousands of dollars at the end of it. And so you can imagine, from these people woke up in the morning to like 3 hours later, they're like, what a day. This is unbelievable. It was really a lot of fun.
But you left out, like, the best part of your job.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. For me, being on a Zoom was amazing because you could see inside people's living rooms. Right. You could see how they really live. You get to go into people's houses and check out all their shit. Like, that to me is, like, amazing.
How was that?
It was amazing. You're absolutely right. The voyeur in me was like, oh, this is fascinating. And by the way, a real interesting sort of cross-section of people and families around the... We filmed all around the tri-state area, New York, and we were in Connecticut and New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey. We actually filmed like two towns away from where I grew up. So it was just, in some ways, it was a homecoming of sorts, because I was like, I know this family. This is my family. Like, this is, you know, but no, it was really cool. It was always interesting. And part of the show, you know, I wasn't just, doing trivia with the families, but I got to sort of poke around their houses, because I would incorporate stuff in their house as part of the trivia questions.
Uh-huh.
So I literally had to go around and rummage through their stuff.
Did
you find anything crazy?
Yeah, there was this one family, and they had relatively young children, but their bedside lamps were, shall I just say, phallic in nature.
Oh!
I've never seen anything like it. The light switch was, it was very interesting. But anyway, I own them now because I took them from the house. And,
Well, look, Jason Biggs, we love you. And just in case you go to Lonnie's house to give her money, don't look in the right console drawer under the lamp. You don't want to go in that drawer.
There's plenty of batteries for you, though.
Thank you. Write that down.
Just write that down. Right console.
Yes,
oh
right
my
console.
God.
Be sure to check the right console.
Cash at Your Door premieres tomorrow at 11 p.m. on E! Thank you, Jason Biggs.
Thank you, Jason.
We are going to catch you tomorrow night.
Thank you, guys. Nice
Come
talking with
anytime.
You. Bye.
Still ahead, Pat Malachmi joins us live. But first, we're hanging with Selena Gomez. Don't miss it.
Ow.
Damn, girl, how many batteries you got?
Welcome back to Daily Pop. It's time for the Hollywood Minute. Beloved actor Ed Asner passed away on Sunday at the age of 91. He was surrounded by his family, who confirmed the news on Twitter. Ed was known for his work on The Mary Tyler Moore Show and his spinoff series, Lou Grant, and connected with younger audiences in movies like Elf and Up. NeNe Leakes says that her husband Greg is transitioning to the other side amid his cancer battle. NeNe revealed the news to a crowd at her lounge in Atlanta after a fan called her out for being rude and not wishing them a happy birthday. Now, NeNe told them her husband was dying at home. She also posted this graphic on Instagram yesterday, writing that she is broken. I spoke to NeNe this morning. She is thanking everyone for their condolences. And Kanye's 10th studio album, Donda, was released on yesterday, finally, but maybe not with Kanye's permission. He posted this graphic on Instagram accusing his label of dropping the record without his approval and blocking one of the songs from being included. Now, the song later made its way onto the album. And that's your Hollywood Minute. Selena Gomez is back on TV, and though she has over 300 million followers combined on social media, her little sister is not impressed. If you're not a master of TikTok, Gracie don't have no time for it.
TikTok is a place where even Selena gets trolled by her little sister.
Yeah. You embarrass me.
I just deleted the whole TikTok.
How much fun did your sister have really giving you a hard time, Selena, on TikTok?
Well, she kept going, and so I was like, wait, let me record you berating me right now, because she was like, you embarrass me. You don't know how to TikTok. And I'm like, how am I already embarrassing? I didn't think I was that uncool.
Selena is a lot more social media savvy in her latest role, Only Murders in the Building.
Do I want to break into a dead guy's apartment and go through all his Sounds like an afternoon.
Martin and Steve, you are the two legs of the three amigos, so I gotta know, how close is Selena to earning that fourth amigo title?
She's already planned it. She has the title.
Just got super real.
Selena, I'm sure you know that, you know, you've got two icons that you were working with. What was your biggest takeaway?
They really make everybody feel seen and important, really good people that were funny, but also just the hoot to be around. I had the best time. It was just fun.
I can't stop thinking about this.
Neither can I.
We should do our own true crime podcast.
Selena, I mean, this is your first time acting in a TV show since Wizards of Waverly Place. Yeah. Were there any hurdles getting back into the TV space?
The first day of shooting, I was really nervous, but I have to say by the end of the week, the first week, I was so comfortable, and obviously give credit to Steve and Marty.
The three of your characters are addicted to true crime stories, but when it comes to your guys' TV viewing habits, what's your guilty pleasure? Would anything surprise us?
I default to sort of true crime in the background, you know, while I'm doing stuff, answering emails, and then every once in a while.
What do you do again?
Then I go back.
Only Murders in the Building premieres tomorrow on Hulu. Coming up, how does Pat Malachmi become a chef and still look this good?
Wow.
She's here to give us all the secrets straight ahead. Damn, she looks good.
She's so Welcome back to Daily Pop, you guys. We're here with one of my favorite chefs,
yes.
Top Chef host Padma Lakshmi. Hello.
Woo!
Good morning.
Hi, everybody.
Okay, first of all,
morning.
Congratulations on your Emmy nomination.
Yes.
How did you celebrate? Did it involve food?
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I don't even think we really celebrated because we were not all together when we found out in July. Top Chef received 6 Emmy nominations, one for me personally, but also just the show and, you know, different awards. And it's more than we've ever won, or sorry, not won yet. It's more than we've ever been nominated for in any of our seasons. So I don't know that I really celebrated. It was just such a shock. And I always just wait to celebrate because I don't want to jinx it.
That's smart.
Oh, you know, we have to know. You spend so much time around good food, mm-hmm. and you still manage to look damn good. What is the secret?
Honestly, the secret is just living in the gym. I spend a lot of time working out. Mm-hmm. I work out at least 5 or 6 days a week for 1 hour to 2 hours a day. I have to because I'm working with food. I have 2 TV shows that both require me to eat a ton of food. And even when I'm not filming, I'm researching recipes or testing recipes or making Instagram videos. So, you know, I try to eat mostly plant-based when I'm home and not filming, but it's hard. It's really, really hard. It just takes a lot of hard work, but I would rather eat more of the foods that I enjoy and just put the time in the gym than just starve myself because that's not healthy and I'm not capable of that anyway.
That's right. You're a busy lady. She's got Top Chef. Mm-hmm. She's got Top Chef Family Style and Taste the Nations on Hulu.
Yeah, busy.
How do you make time for yourselves and read all those books behind you, girl?
Well, I've been reading those books for, gosh, 40 years. So, you know, it takes a while. I still have some speed. A lot of people send me books for blurbs or, you know, just posting and stuff. And other writers who are friends of mine. So, it, you know, I love to read. It's my favorite thing to do. I'm a slow reader. But it is hard. You know, Family Style, I'm just a guest on. But that, you know, it's just a show of Top Chef. But Taste the Nation also requires me to eat a lot. And then mm-hmm. I'm also doing post-production on that show, looking at edits, doing color correction, writing the voiceover from food to nuts. So it's a lot of time sitting on my butt. So I have to work out a lot and cook with my daughter.
Oh,
so cute.
She's actually reading those books. That's crazy. All right. Speaking of more books, you have a children's book out tomorrow, Tomatoes for Neela. Did your daughter help you
work on it? Well, it's actually based on a story that I used to tell my daughter when she was 3 and 5 years old because she didn't know when any vegetables or fruits grew in season. And so this is a version of that. It's not exactly the version I told her, but the book is very autobiographical. It's, you know, about a mother who tests recipes with her daughter, and the daughter has a little spiral notebook too, and the grandmother also plays a big role because I wanted to talk about how everyone in the family of different generations has something to contribute to that kid's food education and just education in general. Writing recipes down and developing that family tradition of writing all of your family's special recipes down is a great, fun way to get kids interested in food. It's also a great way to teach them about stuff they're learning about anyway in school. You can practice your fractions, you can practice your spelling, you can practice note-taking, really good organizational sequencing and things like that. So, you know, it's really good. Also, I wanted to do a book where the characters had brown skin, you know?
Yes!
Yeah. So I, you know, there weren't too many of those books when I was growing up. And even 10 years ago when I was first shopping for books for Krishna, she's 11 now, you know, everybody looked European American, Caucasian. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I came out fine and whatever. But it's nice to see different kinds of people as characters for every family, not just families of color. You know, I think that's important in seeing all different kinds of families. There's also back matter about farm workers and some resources for parents to delve deeper into that issue with their kids if they want to. There's also 2 friendly recipes that you can make with your kids that are really easy. It's tomato season right now. And if you go to any farmer's market, you will see it's bursting with all kinds of tomatoes. So it's a perfect perfect book to, you know, buy for your kids to get them interested in reading again, you know, when we're all going back to school, but also just to make recipes with your kids.
You know It'll be great for you and Rose.
We want to come over to your house next time for dinner, okay? The interview is going to be done there. We'll read some books. We'll have dinner. We'll do all of it. Congratulations. Thank you so much for coming. You guys, you can watch Padma on Top Chef on Bravo and Top Chef Family Style on Peacock. And if you guys do not already have Peacock, we've got you covered. Just scan the QR code up on your screen to sign up. Do it.
Yeah.
Up next, who is Nicole Richie telling to calm down and just relax? The answer, right after the
Justin.
Break. Yeah, right.
Sophia Richie turned 23 this week, and her big sis, Nicole, shared this great throwback in her honor. Aaron just talked to Nicole about that and what her life was like in her 20s.
All night long.
Your baby sis, Sophia, just turned 23. Looking back, what advice would you give your 23-year-old self?
Oh, my God. I mean... When I think of my 20s, I mean, I don't even know where I would start. I mean, we're such different versions of 23. What advice would I give to my 23-year-old self? I would say, calm down. It's going to be okay. Just relax.
Yeah, I think we can all take that chill pill at 23.
Yeah, take a chill pill, babe.
I love Nicole Richie.
Me too.
I know. She's really, we don't talk enough about her. She's iconic and always so personable. I love her.
And always so chic.
Always so chic, damn.
What would be your advice to your 23-year-old selves?
Boring, but I'm going to copy her. Relax. Calm down. You don't need to go to that nightclub every damn night.
Wow.
Being exhausted.
I would have left my engineering job that first layoff. I waited till the second layoff. If I would have left, then I would have been 24, and I would have been a little more ahead.
I get that.
It all worked out, though. Everything for a reason.
You know, but see, I'm 7 years behind, like, Monique. I'm 7 years behind, like, Niecy Nash. I'm 7 years behind people. But if I would have taken that first step, but I was afraid because, you know, I was like, I'm going to lose a check. I'm going to lose benefits, all that. I didn't trust myself enough. So
it's the benefits. It's the benefits over the check.
It's always the benefits.
And I don't all get the benefits.
If I could tell my 23-year-old self anything, I would just say, lick it, sis.
Ew.
You only live once.
You still are doing that. It's fine.
No, when I was in my 20s, I was a prude. I was living under this, I don't want to do anything or make a misstep. I don't want people to find this thing out. And I felt like I didn't live my life fully.
Right.
And I didn't lick life. You know what I mean? I
need to
lick
life. But she lived her life. She was in the club.
No, she was living.
Living at
she
the
lived
right
enough
time.
Life for both of us.
Yeah.
And when I say lick
so
it,
fun.
I don't mean anything sexually. I just mean lick it.
Yeah.
Like, get out there, taste some shit.
Yeah.
Run around.
Yeah.
Eat a pepper with a Latin man named Emmanuel. Like, do everything.
Where did we just go with the pepper?
Carpe diem.
Seize the day.
We'll have more with Nicole tomorrow. She'll be giving us a first look at her new House of Harlow collection. Halsey, who uses the pronouns she and they, is opening up about her pregnancy, saying she was treated like a teen mom. Mm. Listen to what she told Apple Music's Zane Lowe.
I think being pregnant in the public eye is like a really difficult thing because, you know, as a performer, so much of your identity is predicated on being sexually desirable. I'm 26 and I tried very hard for this pregnancy, and it was like, I'm financially independent, I'm pretty far along in my career, you know, it feels like the right time for me to do it. And I got treated like a teen mom a lot of the times, you know what I mean? Where people were like, oh my God, like, you're so young, and you're like, you have so much to do in your career, and you're not married, and you're this, and it like, it triggered all of these feelings of like, kind of shame from when I was younger.
Damn.
What do you guys think about this?
When I found out that she was pregnant, I did not for one second think any of the things that she mentioned, but I guess most people are a little bit more judgmental. But 26 years old is a completely... By the way, if you love your baby and you're a good parent and you feel like you're capable of having a baby at 18, that's your choice, right?
Well, yeah.
I don't think... I never felt like she was a teen mom. She said everything very correctly. She is financially independent. Like, she needs to do what she... Who cares if she's married? She's happy. She wanted a baby.
It's just the way the studios and the industry, they want to try to sell you as this desire. You can't be desirable because you're a mom.
Yeah.
You can't be desirable, you know, because you're not married and you're a mom. And it's just ridiculous. Times are changing. I'm glad that they understand it.
Yeah.
I see how I use the pronoun.
I like how you use
that.
That
was really good. I'm happy. Yeah.
I do think, you know, to her management's, you know, decree.
Here we go.
I feel like sometimes when an artist is hot, of course we don't want to see our clients take a year off whenever they're just hitting it. I said the same thing about Cardi B. Like, oh my God, you were just getting hot. Why would you do it? Why would you choose to do it now?
And now baby number two doing damn fine.
And now baby number two doing damn fine. But I think with Halsey, a lot of times it's your own insecurity that makes you go to the place of, oh, I feel like a teen mom because I feel too young. Mm-hmm. So if somebody says, are you sure you want to do this? Maybe it was about her career, but maybe she took it as, you think I'm too young and I'm not married.
Well, and you're going to miss some things as a mother, and maybe you should. That's the purpose of having children.
I'm
so
happy about the things I miss. I'm so tired. Doesn't matter.
Exactly. You know, children make you relax. They make you understand life. And 26, in 10 years, she'll be 36. That, you know, she'll be, you know, if she has more children or whatever.
In the prime of her life.
Yeah.
I mean,
so it's like, it's good to get it out the way. To me, get it out the way.
I agree. I'm happy they did.
I'm happy they did too, and I'm happy they are sound with their decision. And anybody who doesn't like it can kiss her butt.
Yeah.
Okay?
And she looks amazing.
Stick around, because up next, Idina Menzel is telling us all about how she felt about John Travolta filleting her name. John, you should probably change the channel for this one.
Filleting.
Yeah, she filleted. Shut up. Idina Menzel is all about the silver lining. We'll never forget when John Travolta botched her name at the Oscars, but she told Victor Cruz it was actually a good thing.
Vicky!
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
The Oscars. The greatest day of my life.
And yes, and why was that the greatest day? Please tell us.
I'll tell you why. Because at first I was very insulted for the 8 seconds before I had to open my mouth and sing in front of lots of famous people. So I got over that really quick. And then I realized it was a really happy mistake because all the people that knew me from the theater world loved me more. And all the people that didn't know me were like, who the hell is that girl? So it was helpful.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't believe you had to sing.
And he sent me flowers and apologies and stuff. And he's a very nice man.
I love that Adele Dazeem.
And I'm telling you, sometimes on live TV, you're going to mispronounce. And especially a name like that.
Every day of our lives. What do you mean? I cannot read an outro on this show to save my life for whatever reason. I mean, it happens. And I think it's very classy that he sent her flowers. And I think that really speaks to who
he is.
Very
classy.
By the way, I remember when Taylor Swift and that whole Kanye thing happened. Mm-hmm. And every single person in the press was like, Kanye does Taylor wrong, yada, yada, yada. And all I could think from a PR standpoint was this is going to not only elevate this woman to a new level, she is going to be cemented in history and she is going to rise from this bigger and better than she did before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And say what you want, and maybe Taylor Swift is really mad at Kanye, but there is a tiny part of her, maybe even a bigger part, that thanks his ass for doing what he did.
Agreed.
Yeah.
She's forever grateful. I mean, you have to be, because what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And she's definitely survived many a scandals with that whole family. And she really is still top of her game. People are obsessed with Taylor. There's no turning against her.
No. And I know, look, I look at Kim. I'm sure she's like, oh, a 72-day marriage. If you wouldn't have broke that marriage up in 72 days, you would have never married Kanye, and you would not
be,
you know what I mean?
Like,
there's
a
reason.
What about the start of Kim's career? I mean, right? Like, Kim is laughing all the way to the bank. She's got a massive career. Like, listen.
Everything is always something.
Yes.
And you know what? This show is something. Because last week, we were talking about Ted Lasso, and we were complaining about them only showing one episode. And then the next Friday, you got to get the other episode. Girl, I tuned in. They put two episodes out. I said, thank you, Justin and Morgan. They put two out.
Did they put
two? Listen, yes.
They
people
sure
listen
did.
To us.
Okay, I'm catching up on Ted Lasso now.
Can we get three next week? Can we get three next week? And can I get an Apple TV membership? Tomorrow, you guys, Nicole Richie is showing us her amazing new line and telling us how she embarrassed her daughter. And we're hitting the Cinderella red carpet with Camila Cabello, Idina Menzel, and Billy Porter. I got that name right.
Got it
now,
right.
Check out Nightly Pop tonight at 11:30 and join us every weekday at 11. Set your DVR. Follow us on Instagram. We love you guys.
Love you.